One of the most common complaints about major news media, including NPR, is that they're not objective, that they either lean too far to the right or too far to the left. For more than 2 months, a book charging CBS News with liberal bias has been at the top of the New York Times bestseller list. Another recent book says that news coverage has become more liberal, partly because there are more women and minorities in the newsrooms. In the first of two reports, NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams talks with the authors of both books.
President Bush walked out of the White House recently carrying a book under his arm. It was Bernard Goldberg's Bias. A CBS News insider exposes how the media distort the news. Goldberg, a reporter and producer at CBS for 28 years, writes that today's network newsrooms are filled with people who regularly dismiss conservative ideas, especially conservative views on cultural issues such as homosexuality, abortion, and affirmative action.
I had been complaining about this for years privately, this liberal bias, and getting absolutely nowhere. I could have been talking to the wall. This is an issue that the media elites never understood was important. This is the biggest mistake they continue to make, that they never understood how important this issue was to regular Americans.
A recent study by the American Society of Newspaper Editors found that 3 out of 4 people think the news media are biased. Of those polled, 46% find the media too liberal, 36% too conservative. Both Goldberg's work and another recent book, Coloring the News by William McGowan, focus on liberal media bias. The heart of McGowan's argument is that the American media have veered sharply left in the last 20 years. He says they have an agenda to diversify the nation's newsrooms with ethnic and racial minorities, as well as gays and women.
That agenda also has opened up the door to political correctness, to hyper-racial and ethnic and gender hypersensitivity, and to a kind of narrow political orthodoxy that actually undercuts the vitality of the debate just at a very important moment in American history when we need to get information about our changing cultural and demographic landscape in as clear and complete fashion as possible.
McGowan and Goldberg acknowledge that until 30 years ago, major newsrooms were almost completely filled with white males. And they think a more diverse array of voices in the newsroom is good. But as they see it, women and minorities sometimes form caucuses in the newsroom and try to shape or edit the news to fit their agenda. McGowan also says white news executives are catering to minority groups in their audience. He argues, for example, that the Miami Herald and the Los Angeles Times go out of their way to shape or avoid stories that might displease Hispanic readers. McGowan says other news outlets do the same thing when it comes to hard news about women's issues or gays.
When I was doing a lot of my research and reporting, asking news editors why certain stories were not reported, I would hear a lot of times, well, we don't want to feed that stereotype.
McGowan points to heavy news coverage given to the murder of Matthew Shepard, a student brutally killed in Wyoming in 1998 by people angered by his homosexuality. That coverage, McGowan says, was far beyond the slim media coverage given a year later to the murder of 13-year-old Jesse Dierkhuizing, who was raped and killed by 2 gay men in Arkansas.
People were justifying the wall-to-wall coverage of the Matthew Shepard case in news judgment terms by saying, well, this story is so important because hate crime legislation is in the news, or hate crime protections for gays are up in various state houses around the country. But there was no agenda point that the Dierkhuizing case met or gave any kind of encouragement to. And in fact, the only thing that the Jesse Dierkhuizing case encouraged was a somewhat pernicious stereotype of gay pedophilia. So I think a lot of news organizations just didn't want to go near the story.
In his book, Bernard Goldberg offers similar examples. He says journalists inside major news organizations play special interest politics.
And they form these little informal lobbies within the newsroom so that if you did something that blacks didn't like, the black producers would speak up. And the white people, fearing that they would be seen as racists, would go along. I mean, I tell a story about how they took out a shot of black looters after a hurricane in the Virgin Islands where everybody was black. The looters were black, the cops were black, 95% of the country was black. But a black producer was upset over it, and the white producers weren't going to stand up to her, so they took the shot out of the piece. Now, that's a kind of political correctness that comes around as a result of diversity. But that doesn't mean diversity is bad. That just means that anything, even a good idea, can be run into the ground.
Goldberg also writes that CBS officials ignored stories about the daily lives of blacks and Hispanics when it meant getting higher ratings. He writes that at one point, the major TV network's news magazines, such as CBS's 48 Hours, concluded that the key to better ratings was to do stories about white people. The reason, they said, is, quote, white audiences want to see characters who look like they do. Goldberg says the most dangerous aspect of biased news coverage is that so many of these editorial decisions are made without any thought going into them. It's not the case, he says, that there is a secret liberal agenda sent out to reporters every day. Instead, on a broad range of issues, he sees journalists acting out an unspoken code that inhibits the free flow of ideas and information. For example, Goldberg notes that in a story on sexual harassment, a network anchor identified Phyllis Schlafly as a conservative. The same announcer failed to label feminist Catherine McKinnon as a liberal.
By doing that, they're saying, look out for Phyllis Schlafly. She's a conservative spokesperson. And I think that's fair. I think they should do that. Because we need to know that Phyllis Schlafly isn't going to give us some view that's down the middle objective. She's coming from someplace. But Catherine McKinnon, my goodness, she's coming from at least as far to the left as Phyllis Schlafly is to the right. But she's described simply as a law professor, a noted law professor. I mean, we're going to get it down the middle.
This alleged manipulation of the audience by the networks is at the heart of Goldberg's view that network news executives look down on the public as people who know less than they do, and who have no basis to complain about how they present the news. The percentage of Americans who read a daily newspaper has dropped 25% over the last three decades. And each of the three big TV networks has lost at least 20% of its evening news audience over the last two decades. Missing from McGowan and Goldberg's arguments are many other factors that journalists say affect how they do their jobs. The emergence of cable TV news and its demand for instant analysis, a pack mentality among journalists who want to keep up with the big story, a lack of competition among newspapers, and increasing pressure to make money, which often limits coverage of controversial or complex topics. But Goldberg maintains the media are losing their audience, at least in part, because of bias.
They can't continue to ignore their own audience, because at some point, they're going to be even less relevant than they are today, and then nobody's going to be watching them.
William McGowan says the problem goes beyond declining audience size. Perceptions of media bias, he contends, hurt civic life by diminishing the quality of public discourse.
And if a newspaper loses its credibility because of this, you know, PC agenda that's driving its coverage, I think that the quality of the debate in our country over really important issues is really damaged and is inhibited.
But here's an interesting twist. One major poll shows that while most Americans believe the media to be biased, they also trust their local newspaper. Apparently, most media consumers think they know bias when they see it. And while slanted news coverage grates on McGowan and Goldberg, most people say they can filter it out. At this American moment, everyone is a media critic. Juan Williams, NPR News, Washington.